This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the other people living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish, just as they did." Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the man working the vineyard, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The man working the vineyard replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. In 605, before the Common Era, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar defeated the Egyptian pharaoh Necho, and Babylon became the leading empire of the day. This meant that the little kingdom of Judah came under Babylonian rule. Now, Judah is the southern kingdom of God's people. Judah is where Jerusalem and the temple were. Now, things were not great for Judah during this time, but they were about to get a whole lot worse. You see, the king of Judah, Zedekiah, decided to rebel against Babylon. And Babylon did not take this rebellious act very well. In retribution for the rebellion, Nebuchadnezzar absolutely destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and he demolished the temple of God, the holy place of God. And in this destruction, countless people of Judah were killed. And to make things worse, Nebuchadnezzar exiled a good portion of that surviving population of Judah to Babylonia. This exile was a period of time that we call the Babylonian exile. For about 50 years, God's people were forced to live as foreigners, as immigrants, in Babylon. Then in 539, before the Common Era, the Persian Empire defeated the Babylonian Empire, and Persia became the leading empire of the day. And when King Cyrus of Persia took power, he decreed that all the exiled peoples could return home. So God's people made their way home, and they began to rebuild Jerusalem the temple of God. Our reading from Isaiah today sits at this critical moment, at the end of the Babylonian exile and the beginning of the restoration of Jerusalem. The people are at a critical moment in their relationship with God. You see, many of them believed that they were in exile because God was punishing them. And their punishment was well-deserved. They had oppressed the most vulnerable among them. They had taken advantage of the widow and the orphan and the alien, the immigrant, in their own lands. They had hoarded resources so that a privileged few had far more than enough, and the majority of people didn't have enough to survive. They had raised the cost of basic resources like bread so that the very idea of economic equity was a joke. They had made a mockery of their religious practices, giving offerings to God with one hand and abusing the vulnerable with the other. They had chosen the way of the wicked. So, they believed that the Babylonian exile was God's punishment for them. And they believed that the end of this exile was an opportunity for repentance, an opportunity to choose a new way of being, of thinking, of living. At this critical moment of opportunity, God presents to them a vision of what God wants for them and from them and for all of creation. It is a vision in which anyone who thirsts gets to drink living water. Hoy! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, Isaiah says. It is a vision in which all are fed in both body and in spirit. Listen to me carefully and eat what is good. It is a vision of economic equity. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It is a vision of restoring the covenant, an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love. It is a vision of forgiveness, for God abundantly pardons. It is a vision of healing, for you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. It is a vision of environmental restoration. The mountains and hills before you shall burst into song, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. It is a vision of God's kingdom. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. It is a vision of inclusive belonging. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples, where even the foreigner and the eunuch are welcome. In Isaiah, God presents a vision of what God wants for God's people, what God wants from God's people, what God wants for all of creation. The people in this text, they are a weary people, searching for their way back to God. And God, who is gracious and merciful, comes to them with a clear and beautiful vision of light dawning on their weary world. A vision of what God wants for them and from them and for all creation. And this vision of God that we see in our text from Isaiah, this is an important context through which we read our gospel lesson for today. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the man working the vineyard, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The man working the vineyard replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Now, if this parable makes you feel uneasy, then good. That is the intent. Jesus makes it very clear that he expects us to bear fruit. And he has very little patience for trees that are not bearing this fruit. Give it a year, and if it does not bear fruit, chop it down. That's it. If you're not going to bear fruit, then get out of the way. You're not a part of the vineyard anymore. I think he wants us to feel uneasy in this parable. Not because Jesus wants us to fall into despair, but because Jesus wants us to have a conviction of our faith. You see, we are a tree that is meant to bear fruit. And this fruit, it feeds people. It feeds people both physically and spiritually. It feeds people and creation in a way that fulfills the vision that God presents to us in Isaiah. The fruit that Jesus wants us to bear is the fruit of God's vision for the world. It is light dawning on a weary, weary world. And Jesus, he sees that weariness. He sees the hunger and the thirst and the oppression and suffering. He sees the violence and the pain. He sees it, and he experiences it. And because Jesus is living all of this weariness, he speaks with urgency in this parable. If we're going to bear fruit, there is no time to wait. If we wait for a year, it'll be too late. If we wait until it is easy and comfortable, it will be too late. If we wait until the world feels more stable and secure, it will be too late. If we are going to wait, then our tree might as well be chopped down. Because for those who are suffering, who are hungry, who are thirsty, for those who are weary, there is no time to wait. Jesus sees that we are at a critical moment, a moment of opportunity for the vision of God to be fulfilled. My siblings, Jesus expects us to bear fruit, and he expects us to do it now. He does not expect us to do it alone, though. The vision God presents in Isaiah, it is a vision of a whole community of people coming together to live God's way. Even more than that, God presents a vision of all of creation joining together to make this vision real. We are not a single tree that is trying to feed the entire world. We are a vast orchard, a vineyard, united with other people of faith, other religions, with social service organizations, with nonprofits, with creation itself. We are not a single tree, but a part of a vast orchard. And we are no wild vineyard left on our own. We are tended to by God. It is God who digs around us and puts fertilizer around us. It is God who waters us. It's God's light that shines upon us. We bear fruit because God nurtures us. Because it is God who gives us the vision of fruit that feeds the world. So, siblings, as we hear the urgency of Jesus' parable, and I hope that we hear it, as we hear the urgency of a weary world crying out in hunger, boy, do we hear that urgency now. As we hear that urgency, Jesus wants us to have conviction in our faith. He wants us to bear fruit, because that fruit feeds the world. The people are hungry. We are at a critical moment of opportunity in our world today. And we can choose the way of the wicked, the way of God's people living in the Babylonian exile. And we can choose to be a tree that bears no fruit. Or we can choose to follow God's way. We can choose to be one tree in the vast vineyard that God is nurturing, bearing fruit that feeds the world. We can choose to help fulfill God's vision of light that dawns on this weary world. Amen.